But anyway, you know, my brother John went home to be with the Lord in 2018. He was 78. Had been sick for a while, but was doing okay. But his daughter left to, I thought she went to work, but left to get his medicine and came back and he was dead. I'm saying, God is saying now, I'm giving you all this information. I want to stir you up and warn you. And then you take it and warn somebody else. I mean, you know they're not living right. You know they're lost. You know they're on the way to hell. I say, hey, sit down and listen to me. And you give them and take them through the sinner's prayer. And what they do with it after then will be up to you, up to them. But we went to Texarkana in 2019. And most of you here at CFC know Pastor Tracy Harris. And he was teaching on trances and being, what is it, trance when you go to another place? Translations and all. And people were sharing, and it's amazing the number of people who hear sharing. Now, don't you go out seeking that. I don't seek anything. The Lord tells me what he wants me to know, but I don't say, well, Lord, what you going to tell me about this? No. But he said you'll see visions and dreams. And so I told Pastor Tracy, and it was amazing that 2019 we went to the minister's conference in Texarkana. And I was thinking about that in 2018 while we were there, John went to be with the Lord. I was thinking about that. And Pastor Tracy was teaching on trances and translations, and I forgot what the other word was. So we're sitting there, and he came over and laid hands on Jimmy, and then I kind of bumped his arm, and then what I'm about to read transpired. God says to tell you now, don't put off your relationship with me. Make it real, make it true, and make it everlasting. Make it real, say it, make it real. Make it true, make it everlasting. And a lot of people describe the beauty in heaven and all of that, and it wasn't a really bright, beautiful place what I saw, but I know what I saw. And I went over this many times, writing and rewriting, getting little nuances together, and even maybe some things, you know, you ever give a prophecy, a word, and somebody say, well, what did you say? You remember you said that? And no, I don't. Because it was for the moment. But so Pastor Tracy came over, and what I was about to say, we don't fellowship except at the meetings. But that evening, he had asked us to stay over the next day. And that evening, he and his wife came by the hotel. Don't really know what they came for, but in talking, I told him what happened here. So that night, he called me up to share with the congregation. And so he said that I touched his arm or wrist or elbow or something, and that's why I said it wasn't the elbow, it was that. So let me go ahead and read. Luke 1:3-4. It seemed good to me, this is what I told Pastor Tracy, it seemed good to me, having had perfect understanding of all things from the verse first, to write in order unto thee, that thou mightest know the certainty of the things wherein I have shared with you concerning the spiritual realm. What I shared with you Thursday, June 27, 2019, concerning my being caught up in heaven was the end of the story. In other words, I saw my brother in heaven. I want to back up and give you information so you can have a clearer picture of what happened. My 90-year-old auntie Lois passed away a week before my brother John died in June 2018. Her funeral was on Monday in Jackson, Tennessee, and he passed away that same day. He was 78 years old. They were close. She lived in Jackson, Tennessee, and he lived in Phoebe, Mississippi, about 40 minutes from Houston. Every year, for years, he'd get them Vardaman sweet potatoes from Vardaman, Mississippi, the sweet potato capital of the world. I thought I'd put that in. He was an all-around country boy, a master gardener and a jack of all trades. She, too, was a gardener. She was a very active lady doing crafts, cooking, canning, and freezing food for the family and friends until just before her death. She always said that she would rather wear out than rust out. She had contracted asthma for the last few years of her life. It got worse, and last year, Aunt E, as she was fondly called, also took care of her husband, Felix, who is now 93 years old. Right now, he's 96. We went over to see my brother, Curtis, just before he passed, and they said, it's four people already in there. You have to wait, or one of you can go in. And lo and behold, out comes Uncle Felix and his son, Eugene, and two other people. Amen. 96, still walking. They said when they came out in the wheelchair, because they put him in a wheelchair, and said, you going to walk to the car? Yeah, he got up and walked to the car. Praise God. He, too, was active, vibrant, and full of energy and good deeds until he experienced increasing dementia for the last few years of her life. He is still living and in the care of their son. She also helped with the care of Rex, the handicapped son, who is in his late 50s. John was super active and independent most of his life. He slowed down some because of a stroke, but was still planting his truck patches of vegetables, which he mostly gave to people. And some of you experienced that year, he had 10 acres of greens. He took sick at home one night about a year and a half before he passed. His daughter was able to get him to the hospital. She said he almost died. She's a pharmacist who had started studying medicine and knew some things to do along with prayer to keep him alive until they got him to the hospital. Over the last year and a half of his life, he experienced some health problems. One was breathing. Often he'd have to use oxygen. However, he was slowly improving in his health. His wife had passed away in 2013, and their daughter had moved back home with them to take care of her mother while she was ill. On the day of his death, she had taken him to the doctor for a checkup, then out to lunch and back home. He was cheerful, and they enjoyed the day. After he was settled in, I said she went to work because that's what somebody told me, but she went to pick up his medicine, but was called back often as she always did to check on him. When she did not get a response one of those times, she called a cousin who was mowing the lawn to check on him, and he found him unresponsive on the floor. It was a shock to everyone to learn that he had passed away. I told all of this to get to the following point. Sometime before his funeral, which was a week after his death, Auntie Laura spoke to me in the spirit. I didn't see her clearly, but I heard her voice clearly, although it was not audible. She said, the best I can recall, I told John D., that's what we call him, to come on. There was no need for him to stay and live and struggle to breathe like I did and be sick. Their children, Junior and Yolanda, his children in their 60s, are grown and well able to take care of themselves. I had to stay as long as I did to take care of Felix and Rex and to work at my church. Now that was her heart, doing work at her church, cooking and whatever else. After Eugene, their son, came back home to take care of them, I didn't have to keep fighting to breathe. He, John D., didn't have to stay either, so I told him to come on. Monday evening, after the 2018 ministers' conference, I received the news that he had died quite unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. Be ye also ready at all times. So during the 2019 conference, I had been thinking about the fact that he passed away while we were here last year and what happened. I checked my text message as soon as service was dismissed that Monday night. One of my sisters had written, Yolanda called, John just passed. I was shocked, almost devastated. I was in the hall crying and couldn't find Jimmy. People were looking at me not knowing I was grieving and just kept walking by. Soon, though, Therese came, and I told him, and he was able to comfort me. I talked to my, can y'all imagine Therese able to comfort me? He did. Oh, thank God, he did.